Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Psalms 23, and when you find it, shall praise the Lord. We're only going to look at verse 1 this morning, the beginning of this service, but at the end, we're going to read the entire chapter of Psalms 23. Let's read that together. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so we're going to be talking about that today in a message that we simply entitled, "The Lord is my shepherd." How many today are thankful that God is our guide? He is our director. He is our guide. He not only provides for us, but he gives us insight and direction and revelation. And so we're going to be talking about that today in this message. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's just invade God's realm and ask his blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Let this word that you've given to us go forward in power and in demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to begin this first segment with what I'm calling the prophetic thread. The prophetic thread. Now, I want to share something with you. I think it's very insightful, that is full of revelation. I believe that I always have questions. And when we get to heaven, Pastor Carl, I feel like that a lot of the things that we want to know, we're not going to even really care about, because we're going to be in the presence of the eternal kingdom of God. But there's some things here on the earth that I just can't help but wonder why certain things happen the way they've happened, especially when it comes to biblical history. And one of the questions I have, I always have this question, and I think about it, and I think this is a timely message. I've always wondered, have you wondered, maybe you're like me and you wonder things too as well, but have you ever wondered why the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds first? Why was it that here you have shepherds who are outside of this small town of Bethlehem? They're out in the open fields, and it's at night, and the shepherds are doing what they're to do, what they're called to do, and the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds. I mean, why couldn't the angel of the Lord appear to someone else? And why did it have to happen outside of this little town, Bethlehem? If you'll look in the book of Luke chapter 2, it kind of describes what I'm talking about. In verse 8, it's going to be on your screen. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds." Everybody say shepherds. Shepherds, "and they're abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid." I love the thought of the glory of God invading their lives, invading where they're at. And I believe that that's going to happen very shortly, not only in Gospel Lighthouse Church, but we're going to begin to see the glory of God invade in the house of God, where we really, that's what we really need, is the glory of God to invade in the house of God. I believe that's going to happen in the near future. Well, this is what I've come up with, and I really feel like this is accurate. I think the main reason the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds was to fulfill what we're calling a prophetic thread. A prophetic thread. So what is a prophetic thread? I believe I got it on your screen. A prophetic thread is simple. It's this. It's a divine message from God carrying significance for individuals or generations, acting as a starting point for the promise fulfillment. That's what a prophetic thread is. And in your life, God is weaving prophecy in your life. That's one of the things Satan cannot stand. He cannot stand, Sister Haley, prophecy. He hates prophecy, because especially when it comes from God, the devil will do everything in his power to try to halt that word, that rhema word that God has invested in your life. That God has, he said, maybe you were a child and someone came up to you and said, "I feel like the Lord is going to use you. When you get older and you're as an adult, God's going to bless you and he's going to use you." And so the Satan will attack you in your early years to try to stop the word of God. But how many know today that what God begins, the devil has no power over? Thank God for that. So that's what a prophetic thread is. It is a divine message from God carrying significance for individuals or generations, acting as a starting point for the promise fulfillment. So here you have the angel of the Lord. He is appearing to the shepherds. And so we see something significant. I shared this with Levi a couple weeks ago. I thought this was interesting. The shepherds came first to the cradle of Christ. But notice what happens next. You have the shepherds that come first to Christ, to baby Christ, to baby Jesus. And then you read later that the Magi, they come next. So you have the shepherds first, and then you have the Magi that are coming. So there's something interesting here. Look in the book of Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men," which are the Magi, "from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" So you have two groups of people. Now remember what the prophetic thread is about. It's woven in the fabric of humanity. Whether they're coming from the east or whether they're simply shepherds in outside the city of Bethlehem. Prophecy is being fulfilled. So why is this important? Why is this specific prophecy that I'm telling you right now with the shepherds and with the Magi, why is that important for us as believers? And here's the simple answer. And I want to show you something because I believe this is what God has given to us. The simple answer is this, is what happens to Israel and the Jews becomes a precursor to what will happen to the church and the believers. I truly believe that. I believe it's a pattern in God's word. And let me show you the scripture. Notice this. This prophetic thread weaves into the final fabric of God's ultimate plan and purpose on the earth. And so God is a creator, innovator. He is a seamstress, if you will. And he is making his purpose and his plan for humanity, which is happening on the earth. And so here you go. You ready for this? The shepherds represent the Jews. And the Magi represent the Gentiles. Have you ever seen that before? When I saw that a couple of weeks ago and I had my red books open, had the pulpit commentary open, and I was looking through this and I said, "Levi, this is amazing. I have never noticed this in Scripture." It's a prophetic thread. It's happening all around us. Let me show you. The first reason, number one, the first reason the angels of the Lord appeared to the shepherds was to fulfill the prophetic thread of this idea, the Jew first. Look what the Bible says. Here you have the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the Romans, and he says this, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Anybody? You're not ashamed of Jesus, right? But look what he writes next. "For it is the power of God unto" what? "Salvation to everyone that believes." Now look what's next. "To the Jew first and also to the Greek." The Greek means us, the Gentiles. But then he continues to Rome and he begins to write again in Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, "But unto them that are contentious." Anyone ever been contentious before? He says, "And do not obey the truth. And do not, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." He says in verse 9, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil." Now look what he says, "of the Jew first and also of the Gentile." Who? That's us. But look at the next verse, verse 10. He says, "But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." This is amazing. Now look at the next verse, because the next verse encapsulates fairness. The next verse encapsulates mercy and grace. It says in verse 11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Do you know what that means to you and I today at 2025, almost 2026? It means that God is full of grace and mercy regardless of the color of my skin. Regardless of where I've grown up at, regardless if I've made it to college or even graduated from high school, even if I don't even have my GED, it doesn't matter. God says with him, there is no respect of person. That means he loves us and he cares for us and he has peace and joy and hope and salvation for all humanity. Man, it's amazing to consider, to even think about. And so I wanted to know, there has to be more. Here you got God. He is making things. He's creating things. I really believe this is interesting, this next revelation. The second reason the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds was to fulfill the prophetic thread of the final sacrifice. What are shepherds doing? Shepherds, what are they doing? They're tending their flock. They're animals. Well, what is the animal? Sheep. Lambs. This is interesting to me. So shepherds, think about it. It's nighttime. They're outside of Bethlehem. These shepherds are seeing the glory of God. An angel has appeared to them. They are afraid. Could you imagine? Shepherds had wooden pens or caves in which to secure their sheep at night. That was normality. But if the shepherds had to tend their sheep in the field, they had to be on guard from any threat from the predators that would be lurking at night. So they were wide awake. They were on guard. They were watching night in the nighttime for any type of animal. So they're on guard. They're alert. It's not like the angel came and woke them up out of their sleep. No, they are already awake. Boy, that will preach, won't it? And here God shakes them and wakes them. And this is what I find compelling. I find this compelling is that Jesus was born outside in the same manner which the temple sacrifice animals were born. Jesus is born in a stable. He is born outside. He's not born in a hospital. He's not at, Bethlehem, whatever hospital it is. He's outside. He's in the stable. He's among the animals. In fact, did you know this? The lambs that were used for the daily temple offerings were raised in the little town of Bethlehem. It's interesting. Why did God appear to the shepherds? Look at your neighbor and tell him this. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice, when the angel of the Lord greeted the shepherds with the news, a Savior has been born, they knew, these shepherds knew, they would be seeing the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice. They knew that. They knew that, hey, I'm a shepherd, I'm tending sheep, I'm raising lambs, I'm using them for a sacrifice in the temple services, and something's telling me that this baby boy, Jesus, Emmanuel, which later Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, identifies Jesus as behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. They're saying to themselves, hey, let's gather our things. Our sheep are going to be fine, because let's go into this place where the angel told us to, and let's view it for ourselves, this final sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews says this about our final sacrifice, which is Jesus. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that took for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Then he continues in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. He writes, then said he, lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Can you imagine being one of those shepherds and witnessing the final sacrifice laying right there before you, knowing that this is it? I'm not going to have to rely on raising any more sheep, which they still do, to offer a temple sacrifice. This is the final sacrifice. Look at Hebrews 10 and 14. Write down, it says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means set apart. Jesus has done that for all of us. But this is the wonderful news for you and I as believers. Whether Jew or Gentile, faith in Jesus this morning as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our Redeemer, we become His children. That's what's so amazing. that we are his children. And this is how Christ even talks about it. In the book of John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave his power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Thank God today. Look at your neighbor and tell him one more time, the Lord is my shepherd. This is what I'm trying to convey to you. Sometimes we make things a little too difficult in our relationship with God. We think that we have to do this and we have to do that and we have to do all these things in order. And we think it's like, I heard recently, like they said, it's transactional. That I have to give in order to be saved. I have to do it. Listen, thank God for redemption. Thank God for the covenant that we have with Christ. It is freely given to us. It's blood bought by Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd. They came to a shepherd to convey this message that the Lord this morning is our shepherd. And this brings me to my life point is this. Where God guides, he provides. Think about that. These shepherds are in a field and are relying on a lamb for provision, for salvation, eternal salvation with God. The Magi are traveling. They see the star and they're traveling for years to get to see baby Jesus, who's just, about 2 years old at the time. But the Lord provides. The Lord guides. He may be guided by the king star. He may have guided through the angel of the Lord to the shepherds. But I will tell you this. God guided you to this place. Maybe you just thought you were coming to hear your child sing. Maybe you just thought that you were coming one more time just to be in the presence of the Lord and enjoy fellowship. But I believe that God has orchestrated this very moment for your life since the beginning of time to tell you that he loves you and he cares for you and he has great things in store for your life. All he wants is your heart. All he wants is you to say, God, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. Hallelujah. Psalms 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where God guides, he provides. So I want to talk to you very quickly about three miraculous moments. How many wants miracles to take place in your life? How many are waiting for a miracle? I'm waiting for a miracle. You're waiting for a miracle. And I believe there's miraculous moments. Number one, let's look at this. Number one, miraculous moments need a messenger. Miraculous moments need a messenger. Look what happens in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. Now look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Someone say, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Man, that is a mouthful. That is a mouthful, but that's the message. That's the messenger. And miraculous moments begin with a messenger. Somebody, you may know somebody that just needs to hear a good word. You are a messenger for somebody. You are a message of hope for somebody that's going through very difficult times in their life. You are a message of peace for somebody that's wrestling. I have a friend, and I find this extraordinary. I have a friend that I met in New York City when we were at Times Square Church, and I stay in contact with him about every bi-weekly. And I'll never forget this. I sat there beside him, and I said, hey, look, Sib, I said, I really believe that God is going to visit the Indian people. When I say Indian, I'm talking about the friends, the people from India. And he's from India, and he was telling me his story. And I said, I really feel like God is going to sent a revival with the Indians, and he in tears were in his eyes. He said, I really believe that. And so we stay connected. And the other day I sent him a message and I never heard back from them. I thought, well, maybe he just didn't get it or whatever. And then on Monday he sent me and he said, Pastor JC, he said, please pray for me. I'm sorry that I did not get back with you, but right now I'm back home in India, and please pray for me that I have an opportunity, an open door to preach the gospel to my Indian families. I'm telling you, that's a messenger from God. All it was for me to encourage him, but he has went to the Indians and he went to the country of India, and now he is becoming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody's waiting for you to be a messenger of love and tell them, just know this, that God loves you and he has great things in store for your life. Miraculous moments begins with a messenger. Aren't you glad that someone pointed you to Christ? Number two, miraculous moments are accelerating throughout the earth. You better hold on. You better get in the right place. Don't lag behind. Don't become complacent. Don't miss your opportunity or miss your spot, because God is accelerating things on planet earth. Look what happens in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, and suddenly, someone shouts suddenly. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Suddenly you have one angel, but then suddenly you have a heavenly host. The sky that night was filled with a heavenly host of God's glory, of God's angels, and of God's power. There's suddenly is about to happen in your life. You may see one intricate detail, maybe just one element. You may only see one concept. You may just see one thing, and you're thinking, well, this is it, this is it. And all of a sudden, God creates a suddenly in your life, and then he magnifies that. That one thing you thought was going to be enough, God gives you more than enough. Do you serve an almighty God? Yes, you do. You serve a God that does more than you can imagine, more than you can think possible, more than you could ever hope for. That is our God. And I don't know about you, but I want God to suddenly show up at Gospel Lighthouse Church and do a sudden thing for all of our lives. How many this morning you need a suddenly? Raise your hand. How many? Hold them up high. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We all need a suddenly. Stay ready. That's the fresh word. Stay ready. Keep yourself in the right place. Don't venture off into the desert. Don't venture off into the wilderness. Stay in the right place, and God will bring that suddenly in your life. God is accelerating his plan and his purpose on planet Earth. Last one, number three. Miraculous moments happens with the simplest obedience. The simplest obedience. It may be buying all the men's food at Grecian Steakhouse. The simplest obedience. Just something simple, but God creates. It's creative power. It is a miracle when you obey the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds came, they said one to another, and they said, out of obedience, let's now go even unto Bethlehem, and let's see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. Could you imagine, Brother Vernon, could you imagine if the shepherds say, I'm not going there. It may be a setup. I'm not going there. It may be something they may try to do. I don't believe, you know, but they just simply obeyed. And they, with their own eyes, got to see the miraculous. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he that took the sins of humanity You know, I always say this, but someone's miracle may be waiting on the other side of your simple obedience. Someone's miracle. Sister Linda Merrick, this was back in 2002. It's hard to, well, I guess it's, what is this? Yeah, 2022. It's hard to believe that it's been this long. But she's just simple, you know, and just came and said, maybe it was 2023, but she just came and she said, Pastor JC, I feel like that I want to give you something, and I want to make you a special dinner of Thanksgiving because I really believe that you're going to receive your miracle. And I stood by that. You know what? If it had not been for that Thanksgiving dinner that she gave us in, what was it, April, May, March, something like that, whenever it was, I probably would still be bedfast. But it was that kind of obedience. It may not look normal. It's abnormal. It may not look right. And it's just simple obedience to God. And miracles happen. If you will, Caleb, I need you to come over here real quick, if you will, and grab this because I'm too close to the speaker. But I need you to grab this for me. And this is what Caleb uses, the dumbbell. Caleb uses this. It may be a little too heavy for me. I don't know. I'm not going to curl it, but I'm going to carry it. It's not too bad. Maybe I need to get Jeremy over here too. Go ahead, son. You go back to the. Thank you. I'm going to share something with you that I called the dumbbell story. The dumbbell story. I heard this about a month ago. I wrote it down, typed it out, and I've kept it for this moment. I'm going to share with you a dumbbell story. A lady writes this. Now, this was back in 2021 when she begins this dumbbell story, this journey. In September 2021, she writes, I laid down to take a nap, and I felt God spoke to me to go to the sports store and buy a set of dumbbells to work out with. And she said, well, I laid there to try to nap, but I got up and I obey God. She said, I told my husband to take me to the store, and on the way, when we were going to the store, on the way there, we saw a homeless couple taking a bath with a hose outside of a bank. I told my husband to stop so we could pray with them and give them the only cash that I had, which was $20. He said, no. Let's go to the sports store. Let's circle back to them. She says, I wasn't happy, but said, okay. We went into the sports store, and no lie, there was no dumbbells for me. So we walked out. I drove down the road and found that same couple at a gas station, sitting at a table, and they were filling a water jug. We get out, and I tell them my name. I tell them my faith and how the Lord led me to them. I told them I wanted to take a nap, but the Lord said, no, go buy some dumbbells. Listen to this. The woman looked at me as if she'd seen a ghost. The woman said, a man about an hour ago, before you came up, came over to us and gave us a set of dumbbells. She said, no lie. The hottest day of the year, we should be giving homeless people food or water, but not dumbbells. So I gave her the only cash I had on me and prayed for them. And the Lord said, no, do one better. Take them to a hotel and buy them one night stay. And as I walked them in, I was crying and telling them, this is Jesus and not me. I am just a vessel. Then I heard the Lord say, no, do even more. Pay for a week's stay. And I said, okay, Lord, this is a dumbbell trip. Once she got the key to the room, we walked outside and she kept crying. She said, I tried to commit suicide the other day and the Lord saved me. She prayed, Lord, if you are real, then send some help. She had a bandage on her arm. She said that they slept outside for such a long time and didn't have much food, water, and shelter. They were also addicts and stole out of garbage dumps. People would drive by and yell at them, but no one stopped. And she said, I think you're an angel. And I said, no, I promise, I'm just a vessel. The Lord heard your prayer. She told me that they were from Michigan, left there because of her own mother had an affair with her then husband. So she left her kids and her husband behind. The woman writes, for years I wondered about them. That was in 2021. For years I wondered about them. The last time we spoke was when she texted me during her week stay at the hotel saying it was the best shower that she had in years. We lost touch and hadn't seen her in years. Now, fast forward to 2025, just about a month ago, the woman writes, but God. This past weekend, I went to the grocery store to grab a few things and go out to eat. I gave the option to eat Mexican or barbecue, and my husband chose barbecue. We went in, got our food, and began eating with this couple when this couple walks by us with their food, and it was the couple that we helped. I told my husband, make sure it's them. It was. It was the man. It was the woman. But she looked different. She looked amazing. She looked clean. So we threw our plates away, walked up to their table and said, hey, a couple of years ago, did a couple pray for you? They looked at us, jumped up, and both started crying. This was the couple. They now have a house, jobs, and have been clean and sober for 2 years. Not only that, they serve in a homeless community in our local area and help the addicts. They're now giving back to the community. All it takes is simple obedience. What is your dumbbell story going to be? What is your dumbbell story going to be? Is it going to be something that you think is out of reach? Is it going to be something you think that it's not possible? Or it just looks horrible. It won't even make sense. But to God, I will tell you this morning, to God, it will make sense. To God, it will make sense. Why? Because when He asks you to do the simplest things, there's miracles that are waiting on the other side of your obedience. Can you believe this morning that the Lord is your shepherd? He may call you to just do something that is just, maybe it's a ridiculous thing, but if it's God is in it, it's not ridiculous, it's remarkable, and all He wants you to do is to trust Him in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, and He is guiding me where He guides, He provides, and miracles are about to take place in your life. Do you believe that this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Where God guides, He provides. So I believe the best way this morning to make true and pure application of this message is to prepare. Look at your neighbor and tell him, prepare. Prepare for those miraculous moments that are about to happen in your life. I'm expecting miracles to take place. I was standing at the gas station the other day, and it was amazing because some of you know you sign up for certain things, you get 20% off or 20 cents off a gallon, whatever it may be, 3 cents off a gallon, whatever. And I'll never forget this. I was just standing there and I went to put my phone number in, and then all of a sudden it said, you know, you can get up to 20 gallons, you can get so much off. And I thought, man, that's a blessing. Thank God for that. And then Winston out of nowhere pulls up behind me, and I'm talking to Winston. And then this lady out of nowhere comes around the vehicle, and she's carrying a gas can. And I knew right then and there, God wants me to help this lady. She didn't speak much English. She spoke Spanish. And she has an empty can of gasoline for her gas. And I'm like, okay, I'll fill it up. And then it stops, okay? And I got, and I'm thinking, okay, I still got a little bit more. I haven't reached the 20-gallon limit yet. And so I just take it out and I begin to fill hers up. And I talk to her just a little bit. What I know, I don't know much Spanish, but what I do know, I talk to her and I fill that up, and it fills up. Then it stops exactly at 20 gallons. And she has a full tank. God provided. Where God guides, He provides. And then I said, Crystal, come around here. And I had Winston, and I said, let's gather around. Let's pray for this lady. I cannot tell you where she's at now, but I will tell you this. I have an opportunity to be an instrument, a vessel. I had an opportunity to be used of God. And yeah, maybe it was $5-6. It doesn't matter. I serve an awesome God that owns all things, and all things are created by Him and for Him. All I have to do is trust Him. And He is going to provide. The Lord is my shepherd. I want us to stand together. And I want us in unity to read this scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. And let's start at Psalms 23 and verse 1. At the count of three, it's on your screen. The Lord is my shepherd. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Where God guides, He provides. With every head bowed and every eye closed, what if we all determined this morning, I'm going to let God lead me. I'm not going to lead myself anymore, but I'm going to let God lead me. Where God guides, He provides. Maybe you're here this morning and you've had the reins in your hand. You have the steering wheel in your hand. You have the handlebars in your hand. You're just going wherever you feel like you should go. God is simply saying, won't you just release the steering wheel? Let go of the reins. Let go of the handlebars. And won't you just let me lead you for change? Won't you just let me guide you for a change? You know what that is? That's simply saying, I'm giving God my heart. I'm giving God my life. I want Him to be my leader. With an uplifted hand, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're saying, and we have friends, by the way, that are watching from Scotland right now. You have your hand raised. You say, Pastor JC, pray for me. I want God to lead me. I've been trying to lead myself, but I want God to lead me. I want God to lead me. Listen, miracles happen when you let God. Some of you got to let go. I'm talking to some people here right now. Some of you just got to let go and let God. Maybe it's hurt, offense. We could talk about the emotional dynamic right now. Maybe it's fear. You just got to let go and have faith in God. But maybe it's not just the emotional dynamic. Maybe it's a material dynamic. Maybe you're having difficult time trusting God in your business or with your finances. There's a time in my life when I didn't know if my car was going to start. There's a time in my life I told Crystal one time, I said, hey, this is one of those trusting God, have faith in God with the old car that I drove around. Had a headlight out. I'm surprised that it didn't get impounded. I mean, When one door shut, the other door opened. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was that kind of car. But God, He helped me through it. You may be here in that dynamic materialism. You're having a difficult time to trust God in this time of year. Maybe it's about your job. Maybe it's just about some, can't even meet your own electric bill. But I will tell you this, let God provide. Let God guide you right now. Let God guide you. God can do what man cannot do. I will tell you that. Maybe it's simply spiritual. Maybe it's just a spiritual matter. You've been running from God. You've been running from Him. You've hurt. There's anguish. Maybe a preacher's embarrassed you or humiliated you. And you said, I'm never going back to church again. Listen, I've had people tell me that. You know what? About 6 months later, here they come. They're back in the church. Because they realize that people are human. And people make mistakes. But God is full of mercy and full of grace. And He loves us and He cares for us. Maybe that's you today. And God is just simply saying, let me be your shepherd. Let me lead you and guide you. If you raise your hand, I want you to do this. I want you to come to these altars. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to shake your hand. I'm not going to do anything that is going to embarrass you. But I want you to come to these altars. That's why they're for. And I want you to pray. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. He is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Will you come? Will you come? There's prayer partners that are going to come. As soon as you kneel and pray, there's prayer partners that are going to come around and they're going to pray with you. They're going to join. They're not going to just pray for you, but they're going to pray with you. They're going to join with you in agreement and watch God bring you strength. Watch God bring you guidance and clarity. Watch God do the miraculous in your life. God loves you. He cares for you. He has the best for you. All He's wanting you today is to give yourself to Him. Prepare today for the miracles to happen in your life.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.